This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Hope you had a great weekend. Signature support for our program is from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services and from Vantage Health Plan. We begin our week with Jim Henderson. Dr. Jim Henderson is president of the University of Louisiana System. He has been for 4 years, 92,000 students at 9 universities in our state. Jim led Northwestern State for many years, and that is his alma mater. His PhD is from the University of Maryland, and he has been a guest with us periodically, and he's here to talk about a few different matters, including an amendment that's on the ballot December 5th, and we're getting close to that date. We're now fewer than 2 weeks away from 5 December. But before we get there, life in the COVID age has changed our world, and certainly it has altered higher education, and academia is adjusting. How is that adjustment going right now?
Well, Jim, I think back to where we were on March 9th of this year when I had the 9 university presidents in my office talking about the coming legislative session that was starting that day. And that's when the realities of COVID-19 hit us. And since that time, it has been a season of tumult. But also very rewarding as we watch faculty and staff find new ways to adapt so they can continue that mission of educating the 92,000 students we serve. It's been far from ideal. Been lots of challenges, but I'm very proud with the effort, the dedication, and the resilience of the faculty, staff, and students at our system.
Online learning it's become in vogue before COVID, but now it is the rule of the day in many cases. Is most of the instruction online now?
The vast majority of it is, probably 70%. There are just certain courses, certain disciplines that are hard to deliver on an online environment. And a lot of students prefer to learn in person. And so we've tried to create the most, the safest possible in-person environments. In fact, we saw a study come out from Duke. It was the largest study of asymptomatic testing in the student population. And in that study, they could find no transmission of the virus that occurred in a classroom.
Really?
The challenge for us has been we're dealing with human behavior, and that's the most unpredictable, uncontrollable aspect of this virus. And it's those social gatherings that continue to plague colleges and universities across the country.
877-217-5757 and talk at talklouisiana.org. For Dr. Jim Henderson, who heads the University of Louisiana System. And a listener asked about this endeavor that you talked about in your last appearance on our show, Compete Louisiana, Compete LA, designed to assist more than 600,000 residents in our state with some college degree but no diploma. How's that going? Some college credit but no degree. How is that going right now?
Well, I'm very excited about that program. The model has been perfected. We've got a lot of success stories. In fact, a week after next at the University of Louisiana Lafayette, there'll be a graduation ceremony, and a woman posted a picture on her Facebook page of her and her 11-year-old daughter as she was going to purchase her regalia to walk at graduation. And she had the caption on there that the last time she had been on that campus with her daughter, she was 7 months pregnant with that daughter, and she was going to resign because she didn't see how she could continue college as a single mother. Well, not only has she continued college, she's graduating. What a tremendous success story. And we have anecdotes like that across the state, and what a rewarding experience for us. But at the same time, we know that we're creating a more competitive Louisiana, and we're empowering these young people and older people with their economic futures.
Now, you have 3 children. I know your youngest, Alexander, is in high school, but Reagan and Nicholas are the older of the two, the two eldest. I got it right, I think.
That's right.
Where did they go to school?
Well, Reagan went to the University of Dallas, which is a small little Catholic school in the Diocese of Dallas, married a baseball player from Miami, and has got her master's degree. Has an 8-month-old and twins on the way, so she's doing. she got a lot of that Catholic school education.
Yeah.
Nicholas graduates from UL Lafayette next week, and 7 semesters he got degrees in physics, math, and chemistry.
Uh-huh.
And he couldn't handle the rigors of journalism like his old man, but he's I'm proud of him. He'll be starting at LSU Health Science Center in Shreveport next fall. So very, very proud of that young guy.
Very good. You mentioned you have a background in education and journalism. Do you think that helps in the job you have now?
You know, journalism is, I think, preparation for just about any endeavor you can go into. It teaches you how to communicate clearly, succinctly, transparently, and that's important in any walk of life, especially in the public sector, like we find ourselves in education.
And, of course, a lot of times when things happen that are not pleasant, and inevitably they do in any business and certainly at any university at some point, the tendency is to run from cameras and microphones and notepads and iPhones. But now, in this age, some people have a different approach. You believe accessibility is better. Why?
Well, you know, we're above all else, we're organizations of people, right? We serve people, we employ people, and people make mistakes. That's what happens. When you try to obfuscate those mistakes, or when you try to run past those mistakes, you usually exacerbate the damage. And instead of embracing things head on and acknowledging when mistakes have been made, being very transparent, holding people accountable, and then moving forward with every intent to do better, and of course holding your own self accountable, seems to work well. Journalists seem to appreciate that. It's been a good formula for us for many, many years.
And at LSU right now, we know that that university, my university, is facing some scrutiny as a result of information that was not readily available to the people regarding these allegations against many students on campus. And I have a feeling that if it had been done in a different way, the result might be different right now. But there is a job open there, president and chancellor, and your name has been mentioned as one of those who would be high on the list if LSU goes outside its gates to hire somebody. And my guess, being a Louisiana person as you are, that's something that you would have to consider if you were considered mightily for that position, and I think you may very well be. What do you think?
Well, I think any Louisianan has a deep sense of pride and a great adoration of our flagship university. Of course, LSU is a system, has great medical schools, has a great two-year college in Eunice, two great regional universities, of course, the statewide Ag Center. So it would be an opportunity for any Louisiana. And I want to be very clear. I would not second-guess anything that they're doing at that university. It's not it's inappropriate for someone from outside to do that. And Tom Galligan, who has long been the dean of the law school there and has done an exceptional job as their interim president, you know, we have a great relationship and support each other through these types of situations because they're difficult. Admiral McCraven, when he was led the SEAL team that took out Osama bin Laden, became president of the University of Texas system, and he retired after 3 years, said it was the most difficult job in the United States as university president. So if university president and SEAL team are similar or more complex, then I'll take Admiral McCraven at his word.
It's combat in a different way, and these allegations of sexual misconduct at LSU and the university's response or lack thereof to the allegations and revelations, they largely precede the appointment of Dr. Galligan as the interim president and chancellor, so it would be unfair to criticize him, based on what I know, for anything that's happened. But nonetheless, whoever gets that job is going to have to address this, and whether it's you or him or somebody else.
Absolutely. Let me say this about the sexual violence that is on campuses, and it's reflective of the communities at large. And it goes back generations, you know, even centuries, if you will, about aspects of the culture. What's most important right now is that when you have a victim of sexual violence, you listen to that victim. You empathize with that victim, and you put the needs of that victim first and foremost. When you follow that model, things tend to work out. It's just simply the right thing to do. Now, we've got to do a lot of work on education and prevention, but response is something that's easy to handle.
877-217-5757 for Dr. Jim Henderson, president of the University of Louisiana System. And as mentioned, he's here to talk about the only constitutional amendment on the December 5th ballot, and it involves how college boards could actually get members who are outside the state of Louisiana, something that appears to be long overdue. Right now, many might be surprised, but you have to be a resident of our state to be on one of these boards. What would this do as far as expanding the base of candidates?
Well, so Louisiana is structured in a way that our four systems of higher education have a management board. So you have the flagship university at LSU and its system, our land-grant HBCU system and Southern University system, my system, University of Louisiana, and its 9-member institutions, and, of course, our 2-year system. Those boards are made up of 15 appointees and then one student member. Those appointees are 2 appointees from each congressional district and 3 at-large districts. What Amendment 1 would allow is for boards to recommend to the governor up to 2 of those at-large seats to be filled by out-of-state board members. Now, so that's 2 out of the 15 plus the student. The governor then would have to choose to appoint this person. That person would have to be approved by the Senate. But what it does is it adds a new perspective, some fresh eyes, if you will, and allows us to be more generative in our thinking.
877-217-5757 or talk at talklouisiana.org. For Dr. Jim Henderson, who'll be with us for another segment, and we'll return with more thoughts and words from Dr. Henderson after this brief pause of 90 seconds on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle and Lauren Hickman are producing, and your number is 877-217-5757. And a bit more time with Jim Henderson, president of the University of Louisiana System, 92,000 students strong, 9 campuses, and some questions about other matters. But before we dispense with the amendment, Amendment 1 on the December 5th ballot, they're calling this the Lod Cook Amendment. He was, of course, a great benefactor to LSU, but he lived in Los Angeles, so he was ineligible to be on the LSU board, and that was a loss for LSU, I'm sure.
Well, you know, he embodied so much of what we would love to see in an alum, very supportive of the institution, very engaged, and you know, having someone like that on the board just, again, adds that outside perspective that can lead to the generative work of a board. We think of boards as managing fiduciary, sometimes strategic matters, but it's just really thinking about what's next. That's when you have a truly high-performing, engaged board. It's what we hope to have at the University of Louisiana system. I think our board has developed mm-hmm. greatly over the last 4 years, and it's so important to the success of these institutions, not just today, but 10 years from now.
And that brings us to a question from Diana in Mid-City, who says that Louisiana's higher education system has been accused of being insular, and we probably have the highest rate of in-state students at our universities. And that's a good thing, bad thing, but do you know the percentage of the number of people going to these 9 schools and other universities, for that matter, in Louisiana? What's the percentage of those who are from the state of Louisiana?
Well, in the aggregate, it's about 82% across our system.
82%, wow.
But that varies by institution, and you'd be surprised. The institution in our state that probably has the highest mix of out-of-state students is Grambling State. And you ask yourself, why? Well, they have so many legacy students that come from parents that attended and grandparents that attended Grambling State. Of course, it has the world-famed marching band that is world-renowned. That brings students to Grambling. Of course, UL Lafayette, Louisiana Tech, because of their research mission will bring in a lot of international students and students from the country. But most of our schools serve the regions that in which they inhabit. And we think that's a great strength for these institutions. You can't allow it to become insular. That's a great point by your listener.
And Jim Wharton, the former chancellor of LSU, has been on this program many times, and he noted that, and I'm sure he's right, the University of Alabama now has a majority of its students from outside the state of Alabama. They have actually gone out and tried to get students from other parts of the country to come there, and having the great football program helps that. But does that serve a university well to go out and they obviously give scholarships. They go after kids from Louisiana. Does that work as far as bettering a university?
I think anytime you can diversify the student body and creating an inclusive environment, that's demographically, but it's also experientially. And so going outside and bringing students in, we need to primarily serve the state of Louisiana. But if we can bring bright, talented students from outside of Louisiana and then create incentives for them to stay, a growing economy with lots of opportunity, then I think that's a win-win for all of Louisiana.
Bill Huey says, I really support getting rid of separate boards and consolidating them into a board of regents. This has been tried. It came within one vote when Buddy Romer was governor. It's never been accomplished. It's very difficult to pull this off. Would that help?
I think a lot of people have fascinations with the structure of higher ed. In fact, Tennessee had exactly that system about 5 years ago, and they just changed it. So now they have 6 boards of higher education. Florida, by contrast, has 38 boards of higher education. We have 4. And to be honest, I think the structure is not really the challenge we have in Louisiana. It's more about the vision for the future, being totally focused, not just a year ahead of us, not just 2 years behind us, but what are we going to look like in 10 years, in 20 years? Then the structure can take care of itself. But you have to say, to what end? To what end are we working?
Another listener, we've got quite an erudite audience, as we know, and this is Tracy at the Capitol saying that the former governor of Alabama, Don Siegelman, went to jail, and that he did. He served time at Oakdale for awarding a campaign contributor with a board position, Richard Scrushy, and that's done by governors all over the country, by the way, and Siegelman went to jail for it. But Sherry Garisco says, how will we guard against, quote, selling board seats for donations, in which I guess she means campaign contributors often get seats on these boards. Is that a good thing?
Well, I would tell you that the way that Amendment 1 is set up and the accompanying legislation, it has to be a recommendation from the board to the governor. And, of course, the governor appoints all board members now. The governor makes that appointment, and then it has to be confirmed by the Senate. So there's a lot of checks and balances that are in place. You certainly want people that are interested in the future of Louisiana. And a lot of folks that have achieved some level of success that are interested in the state do make contributions to campaigns. I would hate for that to be a disqualifier, but it's absolutely important that we have the checks and balances in place and that people of talent and merit are being put in positions of influence.
And another listener, getting back to the sexual misconduct allegations at LSU, saying that at some universities, coaches and other administrators have a zero-tolerance policy when a person is known to have, a man in this case, is known to have hit a woman, that he's gone. Whether it's an administrator, a student, an athlete, they're gone. Is that something that would be a good thing in Louisiana?
You have to have accountability. You have to have expectations, behavioral expectations. I remember when I was at Northwestern, my first week there, Jay Thomas, the football coach, came up to me and says, how do you want me to recruit? And I said, well, with great energy, I want you to recruit. We want a winning football team. He goes, no. He goes, are there any limits to who I can recruit? And that's when it took on a different notion for me. And I said, yeah, we want great athletes. We want athletes of character, because the vast majority – it's a little bit different at LSU. I mean, you're recruiting the elitist of the elite in terms of the talent. But at those universities, the vast majority are not going to have professional playing careers. We've got to prepare these young men and these young women for a future in the world of work, a future that's outside of athletics. And so starting with character and then developing that character over time is absolutely, I think, one of the most important parts of an athletic program.
Well, sometimes good people make bad decisions, and if a football player hits a woman, then he should be gone. And a listener notes, and I've written about this in Tiger Rag, that Dale Brown in his 25 years had 160 players, and to the best of our knowledge, not one was ever convicted of a felony, and they've managed to stay out of the headlines largely for stuff like this. And that often says something about not only the coach, but the kinds of people that he or she takes, and you do have to make a lot of those decisions going in sometime.
I was living in North Arkansas in 1977 when Lou Holtz, I was a young guy, Lou Holtz made a decision to send 3 of his starters home before an Orange Bowl game, and that's when you heard the names Ron Calcagni and Roland Sales for the first time. He inspired his team with some folks that really never did anything after that to perform, because he had established a standard and he held people accountable. That means it's the best player on your team to the person that may never ever see time in a game. You have to hold people accountable for the standards that you put in place.
Yeah, I remember that was the Orange Bowl of January 1, 1978, that's and exactly. Lou Holtz had 3 of his best players unavailable because of alleged sexual misconduct, and they were already underdogs to Oklahoma, but ended up beating them, 38-6, I think?
I thought it was 41-7, if I'm not mistaken,
I think it was 38-6. I might be wrong, but anyway, Arkansas finished 2nd in the nation that year, and Lou Holtz was in his rookie season, and he made the right decision, and his players responded well to it, which which is the way it should be. When you do the right thing, usually your people around you will accept the decision, even if it has consequences.
Jim, if you believe it or not, I have a Razorback jersey that is autographed by every member of that team.
1977, and,
That's right.
I'm trying to find the score of that game. You've got me curious. Here it is. There it is. Oklahoma was number two in America, and it was January 2nd, 1978. It was 31-6. 31-6. But Arkansas was a three-touchdown underdog after suspending those three players, and Lou Holtz, of course, never had another team as good.
Until he got to Notre Dame. He had a couple of good ones at
Notre
Dame.
Yeah, he won a national title at Notre Dame, but not at Arkansas. He finished second to Texas and lost, if I remember right, 9-7 to the Longhorns that year. Keep going. Jim Henderson, always good to visit with you.
My pleasure.
We'll talk again soon, I hope, and we'll be back with more after this pause.